At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'll be here with Kedrick Prince, the Illini guy's director of recruiting, and Matt Stevens, Illini guy's staff writer. And we are going to talk about the, I guess for the second time this season, Penn State convincingly defeating the Illini, last time on December 10th, this time on Valentine's Day. 2022 versus 2023, same basketball season, same result. The Penn State team shoots incredibly accurate in the first half. They don't cool off and really cruise to a win that they were not in much danger at all of the Illini coming back. So it was a little bit of a surprising moment. A lot of fans had kind of chalked this up as a W, and figured that Penn State had their fantastic day earlier in the year. But the Illini run in for the second time this season to a Penn State team shooting over 60% in the first half, and a first half lead became a insurmountable obstacle as Penn State cruised to a victory. So stay tuned for that. We will also have Matt Stevens talk a little bit about the new special teams and tight ends coach for the Fighting Illini. So we will talk a little bit about that at the end of the telecast as well. So let's talk about it. And of course, before we do that, let's have a little bit of an opening moment from one of our sponsors.
Slow down, they say. You're getting older. Relax. Seriously, you're on a mission. You've got places to go, grandkids to see. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible, whoever you are, wherever you're going, whatever your mission is. We're here to support it, because that's our mission. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/your way.
Ken, it was a really, really rough night for the Illini. They really couldn't ever get anything started, or I should say they couldn't ever get a stop on the defensive end at any point during the game. You had some concerns about this going into the game. What were you nervous about that kind of led you to, when we were talking, to for you to have some concern about this when many Illini fans and many Illini media thought this was just going to be a W?
Look at the history. I mean, I've said this before. I'm not a psychic, but Illinois doesn't play Penn State well at Happy Valley. They just don't. They don't play well there, and they never have. Yeah, they've won some games, and they've had some heroic performances, but traditionally they haven't. And I knew, my opinion, I mean, they knew that Penn State had been struggling, and they knew shooting, to me, is contagious and it's confidence. They shot the ball lights out against Illinois at home, and they have been struggling. So you know what? You get home, you get a team, but you know, hey, you know what? We shoot the ball good, and that confidence, you know, you get that confidence. And it's like anything else, you know? Coleman Hawkins' confidence is up right now, so he's shooting the ball a little bit better. I didn't feel good about it. That's why I tweeted, and I put the hoom sign afterwards, because I don't understand why Illinois was favored. I mean, I know Illinois had been playing well. They had won 8 of 10 games, but Penn State is a dangerous team. And I know the fans are mad, and I'm disappointed with the loss. But my disappointment is probably a lot different than everybody else's. I'm disappointed because it's a bad loss. That's the way I see it. Losing to a team that's not going to be in the tournament is a bad loss. I'm not frustrated because I have coached and I have played high school and college basketball. Some people need to understand, you just need to tip your hat to the other team. Pickett had an out-of-body experience again. He was on fire. And everybody's sitting there criticizing. Do this, do that. Coleman Hawkins, he's listed as 6'10". That dude's not 6'11". I don't know, 7 foot. I mean, he's long. We know how long Daniel's wingspan is. And he was shooting over the top of them like they weren't there. And it didn't matter. Didn't matter if he went to the basket. He shot it over the top of Matthew Meyer in the post, Terrence Shannon, Ty Rogers. He played good tonight. He just had a great game. And Coach Underwood, everybody knows I'm one of his biggest fans. Tonight, I know he gave Coach a speak and talked about his team wasn't prepared to play. They were prepared to play. And I'm going to tell you why they were prepared to play. In my personal opinion, Illinois shot 48% from the field. They shot 80% from the from the free throw line. Okay? They out-rebounded them. Okay? And they had only 8 turnovers. So let's do the math. They just shot well. And it wasn't Illinois doesn't play defense. They're one of the top defensive teams in the country. So what is it? It wasn't the fact that Illinois didn't come out to play. Penn State just lit Illinois up, and it happened. And I think I'll be done after this comment. People need to look at it this way. When Illinois is doing that to teams, it's okay. And it stinks to lose, but at some point in time, you got to give credit to the other opponent. Now, the only time I really, really, really got mad was when Pickett had 39 points, he would have been the last guy with a foul. He would have not gotten 40 points on me. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a little bit of old school, isn't it? I will say the part that I thought, and first off is give Pickett credit. He did an excellent job. He made, you know, I can think of just, you know, in my mind's eye, I can think of 3 shots that he hit over the top of Coleman Hawkins, where Coleman Hawkins played good defense. You know, and yes, he just made him. I can think of 2 shots that he made over Dane Danger. But now here's my but, and you can refute this. But the problem I had is that there were several times where we saw Illini go underneath screens, which gave him that extra second to line it up, and he was hitting everything. And then the other thing is I am so tired of the switches that don't make sense. And if you look at my Twitter feed, I wanted Danger out of there and play Coleman at the 5, so that if you're going to switch, at least you don't have Danger trying to guard Pickett too often, you know, out there, you know, in no man's land for a big guy. But ultimately, you know, as I look at it, I guess, some of the switches, I mean, Jaden Epps had a tough game. He didn't hit 3s. His defense was not as good tonight. He wasn't as focused. He's a freshman. I know everybody likes to say that, you know, he's no longer a freshman, but he's a freshman. And he had a rough go of it defensively. And so I thought that between the open looks that Pickett got, he got his confidence going. And then the other thing is I don't think that Big Ten, you know, players know how to get a guy who's dribbling him down and he can turn and slap you and you're going to get the foul called. And I don't think that people know. I mean, back in the old days, you know, somebody's going to try to back me down. I stick my knee between his butt cheeks and he's not going anywhere. And I don't think you're allowed to play that type of defense anymore.
No, you're not. And where you are correct about, we don't know the scouting report, but Coach Underwood did mention in this post-game press conference on the radio station, they've missed a lot of defensive assignments, you know, who they were supposed to switch on and who they weren't supposed to switch on. And I know a lot of people were upset because Dane he ended up guarding guys on the perimeter. Well, look at the second half, he barely played. They still got beat.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to me, and they were 2-for-12, I think, at one point in the second half from 3-point range. And, you know, Matthew Myers, you know, fouled the first half shooting the three. You know, they just made a lot of stupid mistakes. But at the end of the day, still, they had a chance to win. I mean, I don't want to be analytical and just say the game is all about numbers, but Illinois did put up 81 points.
Well, they got it to within 8 points. So that part, that was kind of what I was thinking during the game. Is I'm like, I can't believe they're only 8 points down. At the same time, I think the frustration is, you know, you get a team that has been poor shooting, and you just allowed them in the first half enough open looks that they got all their confidence back. And then I'm going to say something, and you know what I'm going to say. I've been saying this since the start of the team. Illinois is not a good three-point shooting team. And at some point, I don't think the three-point issue – they didn't have the issues, in my opinion, tonight that they've had other game days. But they just had a rough time. They're just not a three-point shooting team. And when you shoot, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, you shoot 25% from the three-point line. That's kind of what you expect a junior high team to shoot.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were 7-for-27. And Coach Underwood, for the first time, I know I've heard every press conference. I don't know if Matt has. I'm sure he has. And you've heard it. This was the first time I've heard him say that they stunk shooting the ball from the arc. Because they did. They really and truly did. And, you know, people will look at recruiting, and if you want a bunch of guys that can shoot, then you may get that, but you may lose some of the athleticism, you know, that they have. You know, one bright spot to me at this point in the season, I'll tell you what, the things he said about Ty Rogers, I'm liking what I saw from him. You know, I like what I saw from Coleman tonight. Coleman is starting to become more consistent from shooting the ball. He's looking to score more. Again, you know, I know people are probably mad because they think I'm just taking the easy road out, and I'm not. I mean, I think Penn State would have beat Purdue tonight like this. I mean, they really would have. It didn't matter. I mean, Illinois had a hand in their face. It did not. I mean, some of those shots, I just couldn't believe it. How many shots did they hit? I think there was three with the shot clock running down with 1 second, and it went in. It's your night. And, you know, it's like certain basketball teams. Illinois had Iowa's number in basketball, what, 5 straight games? I mean, and Penn State just has Illinois' number. That's why I said to you when you asked me earlier, they don't play well against them. And I think Penn State knows that. I don't remember. I know. I think they won 2 years, last 2 years, and then it was like 4 or 5 games, 6 games in a row that they had lost to Penn State. So, but that's mental, and it could be an excuse. I don't know how people want to look at it, but the reason it's a bad loss is because now you got to go to Indiana, and all you can do is hope Indiana's going to shoot bad. You know, because again, 81 points should win you a Big Ten game, especially if you play defense the way Illinois plays. They're one of the top 10 defensive teams in the country. And tonight it didn't show.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go controversial here, Ked. If I'm an NBA GM and I watch Coleman Hawkins tonight, I'm thinking this guy, I can grab him at the bottom of the first round or the top of the second, and I'm not gonna let him slide. Because I watched him guard a 6'4" guy and contest shots. I watched him hit threes. I watched him distribute the ball a little bit. He didn't have any turnovers tonight. We had a 6'11 guy who was playing 30 feet from the basket. And I'm thinking that if I draft him and then I get a chance to coach him and there are no hour limits that he can spend working on his game. In other words, they can work him 60 hours a week. I'm telling you right now, I watched some of the stuff tonight, and I'm like, I'll take Coleman Hawkins in the bottom of the first round.
I would too, and I'm going to tell you, and all the people who get frustrated because there are games like, let's go back to the Iowa game when he was 0-for-7. You know what? Yeah, that stunk. You know what? Jay Neff was a good shooter. He was 0-for-5, 0-for-6 tonight from 3-point line. Iowa was a decent shooter. There was games where he didn't do it. Okay, let's look at Kofi. two-time All-American in one year. At one point, he was shooting 49% from the free throw line. There's a flaw in everybody's game. But if you look at the overall picture, and there's no secret that I'm friends with the family and I talk to the dad, I'm going to tell you, there's a ton. I put it like this. There's 10 NBA teams right now that I know that are salivating over him. They really want him, and they're looking at his upside. Because Illinois, if you look at his frame, you can still put weight on him, and he's picked up a lot of weight. You look at his body when he came out of prolific prep and what it looks like now, and he's starting to figure it out. I mean, and he can defend. He can block shots. You know, is he a guy that's thinking, okay, is he a first-team All-American? No, he's not. But the way the NBA game is being played today, he is a guy that, to me, that can put up numbers. I mean, he just can, and he can be effective. So, but right now, you know, it's not being controversial, Mike. Like, we all think he's a good player, and, you know, we've been frustrated with him a little bit. But now it's time for them to – I don't want to see them slide into an 8 or 9 game in the tournament. I just don't. I think that's dangerous. I think they've had too good of a year. But they're going to have a stretch here now to where they're going to – if they lose to Indiana – that means you need to go to Purdue and win on senior day. And what are the chances of that happening?
Well, and like I said, I they haven't lost two in a row all year. And I think that's going to be a real challenge come this Saturday, because the other thing that I don't like is Illinois does not know how, once a guy gets on a roll, they don't seem to know how to stop him. Go to Tony Perkins, you go to Pickett. Now you're playing Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's the best of the three. I think that is a scary proposition for the Illini going into Assembly Hall with an Indiana team that's pumped up and wants to beat them, and wants to move up in the, you know, move up in the standings and move up in the NCAA tournament, you know, on what line they go. I got a lot of concerns, because the Illini are going to have to shoot like they did today, and they're going to have to figure out how they stop Jackson Davis without getting into a lot of foul trouble. This is probably the first time you've heard me this season, but I don't know that I expect them to get out of Bloomington with a win.
That's what I said today. That's why I thought today was a horrible loss. You know, 41 points and 8 rebounds, 8 assists from one guy, you know, a guard, you know, and Illinois, well, I guess we're going to see what kind of adjustments, you know, that were made, but it's just ugly. I think they're 86 in the conference, and they're better than that. You take those losses away early in the season, you don't lose at home to them, but then they play well. And I'm going to tell you something else. Northwestern at home is not a gimme win with the team. They don't shoot it well enough. They just don't.
Yep, and that's the challenge that Illinois has. And of course, you know, talking with Kedrick Prince, you know, director of recruiting for Illini guys, Matt Stevens, our staff writer, is here tonight. Matt, any thoughts as you've heard what Kedrick and I were talking about?
If they defend like that, they'll lose every single time, every single time. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This team will win a lot of games if it puts a lot of effort in the defensive end and on the glass. And they didn't do any of that tonight. The effort was bad. Their head coach called out the effort being bad. They didn't show up. And they had every reason to show up, because it's a team that just kicked your butt a month ago. A couple of months ago on your floor by 15 points. So I thought Brad Underwood summed it up really, really good. They're not mature enough to handle this type of situation. If they're going to allow a team to put up a 50 burger in the first half and then really not have a, you know, they had one counterpunch in the second half defensively. And then they went back to doing exactly the same lazy, easy stuff that they've been taught not to do on defense. Mike, you said it. You know, you watched them go under screens, which you know they're not taught to do. And they did it constantly because it's the easy thing to do.
Well, you know, and I'm going to push back on that, though. Some of this is up to the coaching staff. I used to say all the time, and my father-in-law won four state championships, and I was a much better AAU coach when I could get him on my bench. But he used to tell me all the time, there's two things that happen when you're coaching. He said, one is what you coach players to do, and the second is what you allow players to do.
Yep.
And right now, you know, again, I didn't think their defensive effort was horrific. I got to be honest with you. I saw a lot of good defense that you just got to tip your hat to Pickett and, you know, and say, all right, dude, great shot. But, you know, Illinois left enough on the table defensively that they could have turned a 12-point game into a knockdown dragout and a possibility to win. And you can't do that when you're making as many mistakes as they did.
Yeah, I didn't think the defensive execution was putrid, but I thought at times I thought the effort was putrid. I really did. I think these guys can play harder than that. And guess what? Their head coach thinks they can play harder than that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to argue with you. That's and where so, Illini fans get frustrated.
Yeah, and I think that I think Illini fans have a right to be rightfully frustrated with this team. For the main reason being, you know, Ked pointed it out, they're 8-6 in league play. And at some point you are what your record is. I don't really want to hear that they're better than that. They haven't proven that they're better than that. They haven't proven that they're better than that for like 2.5 months. Right. So you kind of are what your record is. And if you're going to go into Evanston and throw up a dumper of an effort, you're going to lose. And that's exactly what they did. You go into a game at Penn State and you throw up a dumper of an effort, you're going to lose. This team's not good enough to not play hard and win. Like, they're not good. They're just not. And so I agree with you, Kags. I think if you're going to allow Jalen Pickett to score more points than anybody scored in a Big Ten basketball game this year, and you allowed on your home floor Trayce Jackson-Davis to go for 35, which, oh, by the way, I think was the topper at that point. So your defensive effort and your execution is mystifying at times. And the funny part about it is it wasn't just Pickett that beat you because he got 8 assists. So when you wanted to run, when you wanted to hedge screens and you wanted to flare out screens and you wanted to basically run at Jaden Pickett, guess what? There was somebody else that was wide open and they hit a shot too.
And so, that's why I said,
yeah,
this team, this was not totally on the Illini. I mean, Illini could have played better. There's no doubt. But I would not put this in the putrid category. I put this as they made mistakes. And unfortunately, Penn State, every single time, made them pay for it. And that's exactly what we thought the Illini would be able to do this year with their shooting. And they have not. Because if they could make people pay the way we thought they would, they would be the Final Four threat that many of us envisioned.
Yeah, and I think, I guess I where I stand, Mike, is that I guess I just assume based off of, I don't know, what do you want to call it, like reputation and your brand, if you're a Brad Underwood team, is to not give up a 50 burger in a game that you probably need to show some sort of fire. And oh, by the way, Mike, you've been pointing it out for like, what, a month now? Like, when you haven't started out a game worth a darn for like a month, probably not a good idea to throw up, to give up a 50 burger, like, to a Penn State team that hasn't won a game in God knows when. Like, that's another instance where these guys just don't get it. Like, these guys don't get the idea that their first half effort is going to come back to bite them in the rear at some point. And I mean, I don't know if the execution was as bad as the, like, you know what I mean? As severe as it sounds, I actually think they probably were doing what they were told, except for Brad Underwood said, and this is what the clue for me is, that when he goes on WDWS and says, we had the worst shoot around we've ever had all year long. A shoot around isn't just a shoot around.
And people need to understand that Brad right. Underwood's shoot around on the morning of a game is a practice. Can be a balls to the wall.
Well, it can be, but it's giving Brad Underwood an indication that, holy crap, these guys they're not locked in. I mean, what am I going to see tonight? Because this is total crap. Like, he had an indication that this was on the docket and tried to nip it in the bud and couldn't. And so.
But do you know what's sad, though, Matt? You know, sorry to cut you off. You know what's sad? You got a Coleman is a junior, 21 years old. You got Terrence Shannon and Matthew Meyer. The clock is ticking for them. So why does it take a coach? You're struggling in the league, and you're right. The best quote I think you said, you are what your record is. They are. And so if you don't want to go be one and done in the tournament, and this is how you want to be remembered, then so be it. Because you shouldn't have to have a coach. And this is why people don't understand why Coach Underwood gets mad. Why does he have to motivate? Because that's what he talked about. We've all been around. When that's what he liked about the past with Io, the locker room, and Demonte, the locker room grew up. I'm not saying that it's not, but they don't have a sense of urgency. And this is why the fans get so mad. I think sometimes they appear to be more passionate about it than the players do, because they could easily walk into this tournament with a 9 or 10 seed, easily. And then you're going to get bounced the first round, and this is what you're going to be remembered by. This is why you don't lose these games now. Because losing a game like you lost tonight to Penn State, and I believe I could be wrong, Penn State has one road win. I think it's against Illinois. You got swept by them.
Yep.
That takes away the Texas win to me, or the UCLA win to me. You can't continue to do that.
Brad Underwood used a fart noise to describe Terrence Shannon's commitment and leadership the last time they played Penn State. Why would you be shocked that like Terrence Shannon decides to basically check himself out of the game with his fifth foul, 91 seconds left, and basically say, I'm done? Why would that surprise anybody?
Well, like, look, you know, you've got an opportunity here, I guess, in front of you. And I see what they've wasted so much is this game, because, you know, when you look at this game, they out-rebounded Penn State, you know, and so that gets wasted in a loss. They were within one turnover of Penn State. Illinois turned over the ball 8 times to Penn State 7. If I would have told you before the game Illinois is going to turn over the ball 8 times, you'd tell me they're going to win.
Right.
For sure.
And then here's a better one, though. As much as people want to bitch about the referees, which I didn't see too – I just saw a bunch of – I'll be honest with you. The referees called weirdest things, and I saw it on both teams tonight, and I tweeted about it. But, you know, the referees are – they're not very good. But look, Illinois was 16 for 20 from the free throw line, and Penn State was 15 for 19. So you had all these things going for you. And again, you can see where Underwood gets frustrated, because if you go over 10 picks over the course of a game, if you and then this one, I'll actually I don't know whose fault it is. I tend to blame the coaches because it kept happening. But Epps kept getting stuck with Pickett. He had one excellent play on Pickett in the lane, and the rest of it was he got owned. So as a coach, whatever's going on, I've got to figure out a way to not have that happen. And it keeps happening. So to me, it was like, you know, if you stop Epps and Danger from having to guard Pickett and you go over those picks, Illinois might win this game because they did the things that we don't see them do, except for one thing. Still can't shoot the three.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Mike. I would also point out that at least in the first half, they may have made an adjustment in the second half. I got to go back and look. But in the first half, I kept wondering why Coleman Hawkins is handing off Jalen Pickett to Dane Danger.
Like, well, exactly. And
why are you switching?
That was a huge explosion in our house, because we were not happy with that. And it kept happening. And,
right.
And the funny thing is early in the game, look, I tweeted early. I'm like, if Pickett, because they had Coleman Hawkins on him, and Pickett hit an incredible shot for his first basket. And I said, look, if he's going to score points, I want him to earn them like that. Coleman Hawkins made him shoot. He had to hold the release. He got it over Coleman. He happened to make it. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's Dane. Oh, you know, now we got Epps. And I mean, I was just like, or guys were going underneath. Look, anybody who learns how to shoot, you put the rocker step in. And, you know, I mean, even now at 55, if you give me a rocker step, I'm going to hit half the shots. And I'm ancient.
I can't wait to hear this, like the Sturdy. Sturdy usually is awesome, by the way, on IlliniGuys.com and on our message boards about you know, getting the insider information and explanation following games like this. He did it after the last Penn State game. What happened after the last Penn State game? We all wrote it. All of us on this beat wrote it. Illinois is done switching. Brad Underwood looked at the rest of the assistant coaches and said, yep, okay, it's Christmas. I've done it your way this time. Now we're going to do it my way. And we're not switching anymore. Like, I hate doing it anyway, so I'm not doing it anymore. They play Penn State again. And then what am I seeing in the first half? I'm seeing Coleman Hawkins hand Jalen Pickett over to Dane Danger, which is exactly what Penn State wants. And my final point is, if there's a college basketball vacancy in the next few months, and I know that there will be, or if there's an NBA vacancy in the next few months, and I know that there will be, the guy who was leading the home bench, yeah, he might be who you want to hire, because that's a hell of a basketball coach. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He has absolutely no size. He has no length. He's playing five dudes that aren't taller than 6 foot five in the Big Ten for 20 Big Ten games, and he's probably going to have a winning record at Penn State this year. They may not get into the tournament, but that's a hell of a coaching effort that he's done, and he's from the Matt Painter school. I'd hire Micah Shrewsbury right now to coach anything at this point if I was an athletic director or I was an NBA GM. And so I'm trying to figure out where everything went from Illinois got it figured out on the defensive end after the whatever the hell that was in Champaign against Penn State. Then you see Penn State again in Happy Valley and the same stuff happens and now it's worse. Like,
you think worse though. I mean, that's why
it was worse than it was in Champaign.
Well, like, but we got TJD coming on Saturday, or you know, going to his house on Saturday. I'm very nervous about, because he might go for 50. I think
he had the most points in a Big Ten game, and it was against Illinois. And Jalen Pickett just took the title from him because he got to play Illinois' defense Tuesday night. So defensively, again, I'm really concerned. If you defend like that in the NCAA tournament, you will get beat. Because it does, whatever you do offensively, it does not matter at that moment. Everything that Illinois did offensively that actually looked like they had, you know, gone to another level. They even incorporated Luke Goody into the offense, and he looked a hell of a lot better than his debut, which, I mean, it was 5 minutes, but I was concerned that Luke wasn't back to where he normally was. Luke looked fine tonight. Offensively,
yeah, he even hustled. He almost got a rebound, you know, from behind.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, he's going to get picked on, but yeah, that's fine. Okay, whatever. But everything they did offensively tonight just gets thrown in the trash because you flushed it down the toilet with a defensive effort that was, and I'm just going by the head coach just basically saying, if we play like that, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I'll be very interested.
He wanted to.
I'll be very interested if we see one of those shot chart things like we saw the last Penn State in the Missouri one that says, you know, in a normal game, Illinois would win this. It doesn't mean anything. Again, I'm not trying to say I'm happy with the defense, but, you know, there were enough breakdowns that you gave Penn State stuff. But I will say that if they're in the NCAA tournament, the odds are you're not going to see somebody go 15 for 20 on hard shots, which is what Pickett did. You know, he made, like I said, I could think of eight right off the top of my head that were just shots that you, as a coach, you go, no, yes, you know, when it goes in. Ked, one question I was going to ask you, there were a couple times on offense towards the end of the game when Illinois needed to score, that whoever was bringing the ball up, whether it's Terrence Shannon or Matt Meyer, would take the ball over to the right, and there was Sincere Harris on the wing. Meanwhile, on the other side, you had Luke Goody on the left. Wouldn't you, especially if you're Terrence Shannon and being left-handed, wouldn't you try to start the offense on the left side and see if you can get your three-point specialist involved?
You know, I was going to let you finish this without even interrupting you 1 second. I was sitting there thinking to myself, there were opportunities where he could have done what you said or kept it. No disrespect to Sincere Harris, none whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it, you got me. This is just me. I'm just going to be blunt. Know your damn personnel. You know what I'm saying to you? I'm going to revert back to football. Matt and I never really disagreed on throwing the football and running the football, but damn it, you had an All-American, in my opinion. So I understand why the Illinois ran the football. You know what your personnel is. Illinois did not have a great receiving corps this year. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. So if you know from basketball terms that Sensei Harris, and I don't care if he was the guy that made the three-pointer last Saturday against Rutgers after they missed 7,085, he's not a great three-point shooter. You play the damn percentages. You get the ball to people who you know. Because the guy I played for in high school, you didn't do that stuff. You didn't play.
Yeah.
You did not play. If you shot shots that you knew you couldn't make, you shot on the bench. And it's okay to do that. Because at the end of the day, you're right. I will take a much – I'm sorry, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm sorry. You get the ball to Luke, or you get the ball to Coleman's side. Even as bad as Jay Neff shot the ball tonight, he's a capable three-point shooter. Sincere is not. And so, you know what? And they were, as Brandon will call it, doinking him. They weren't even guarding him. So then he gets puts the ball on the floor, and then they dare him to shoot. To me, those are turnovers. That's being blunt, because you know the percentage of them going in are not very, very good. At one point, I'm watching the game, my daughter, she's like, "Dad, why is he just not shooting the basketball?" Terrence was the only one who kind of seemed aggressive at the end. Why give it up? It's okay. It's about winning the game. If people's feelings are hurt, you mend them after the game. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't like it, and I will say this. They're in trouble Saturday, but I tell you what, and I'm really curious to see the effort. I thought the effort was there tonight. I just do, and I know Matt talked about what Coach Underwood said. I'm sorry. I do. I just look at the numbers that you just said. When was the last time, and I don't know. You guys have the computers. I don't have the computer in front of me. When was the last time Illinois shot 48% in the game? Because I really don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'd have to look. I mean, they've only lost two games when they've shot over 45%, I think, and this would be, I think, the third.
So that's what I'm saying to you. I mean, we started the show with this. We all know Colin Hawkins is a good defensive player. We know that. The switching part was stunk. When Pickett was shooting over the top of him, I knew we were in trouble. And then the second half, I thought, okay, he's not going to shoot this way the whole game. And then he continued to do it. Coleman is long, and he's good at blocking shots. You can't see over the top of him. That kid mastered what he does, and he is squared, master squared against Illinois, because if they play him in the tournament, say they're in the Big Ten tournament, you know what Penn State's going to be thinking. Well, we're sending Illinois home today.
Illinois
doesn't have the confidence to beat them.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Illinois mentally might be in a place where that would be likely to happen. Well, obviously you play the games for a reason. I will tell you that Pickett reminded me of James Harden without all the free throws. Now, again, he doesn't get as many free throws. He's one of the few guys you'll see me complain about, or I won't complain about it, because he does enough leading with his arm that I'm like, okay, I can handle a ref not giving him a three-point play when they let him clear out with his elbow. That, to me, seems a little more fair. But, you know, he had a heck of a game. And we'll see, you know, where that lands the Illini in the upcoming weeks. But the other thing that kind of came out to me, I guess two other points real quick that I'll bounce off of Ked, and then Matt, you can take it after Ked. But the first thing is Ty Rogers is starting to become what we all thought he was going to be, which is garbage man on steroids. And I mean, and he plays. You know, he's got a lot of opportunities there. And what I thought was really interesting is he had more offensive rebounds, 4, than the whole Penn State team had, 3. That effort level is nice. I saw him go under a couple picks. So I wonder if he either, A, did he not get told the right way? B, did he not understand? Or C, did he just do it? He's not doing the easy stuff. So I don't accept the easy stuff as an excuse for Ty Rogers. Sorry, I just don't. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is RJ got his 3. So maybe what we've done is we've just untracked RJ and you know, he's going to save everybody's bacon in the assembly hall by putting up 25. Ked?
Well, I'm going to say this. You're right about Ty Rogers, and if you look at the statistics, I'm 99.9% sure he led the team in rebounding today with eight, I think.
Yep.
Okay. I thought he did. And here's the deal. You're right. I think Brad Underwood took him out. No, he did not. He put him to the side because he made a defensive mistake. He made a defensive mistake assignment. Well, there was one time where Pickett got a three on the other side of the Illinois bench, and I think it was Jay Neps and I think Ty Rogers. Neither one of them knew. When you heard Coach Underwood, I know Matt listened to the post-game press conference. He talked about communication. There was times where Pickett would just hesitate and get right to the basket. And Coleman, that's how Coleman Hawkins got the goaltending, because there was no communication. As good of a defensive player as Ty Rogers is, and I don't know what the coaching assignment was. I don't know if he should switch or if he should stay.
Right.
I don't know that. But I know there's at least three times where it broke down when Ty was guarding him. And that shouldn't happen because he's such a good defensive player. And I think maybe that's why Coach talked about the youth part of it, because he's not, and it's hard to call a guy out like Ty because he's bringing effort and energy to the table. And truthfully, guys, he hasn't played a lot early. He sat for most of the season. I do like this, though. I did like the fact that, you know, they ran action for him early, trying to get him in the ball in the post,
yep,
because he's starting to now figure out how he can score and become effective. I like his defense that he brings if he can figure out what the defensive assignment is, and you bring in a Luke Goody who can knock down threes. I'm not buying the RJ Melendez three thing. I'm just not, because, you know, it's fool's gold to me, because, I mean, I'm just not. If he makes them Saturday, I think it's great, but I got to see it to believe it.
I'll tell you the thing that's frustrating if you're Underwood. Mike, do you remember when he put RJ in the first half? Because this is what frustrates me, because this goes back to what you were talking about, Cags, is like, what I know what he told him when he goes in there, don't leave Pickett.
I know. And then what happened?
What happens? He left Pickett, he hit the three.
Yep.
And then he jacked him. Like, and he pulled him right then and there, because he had to. Because you didn't do the one thing I told you to do when I put you in the game. Like, and that to me has got to be the most frustrating. Like, if Brad Underwood, it's like you're in there for one reason. Like, you haven't hit the broadside of a barn for 2 months, but you've been really, really solid defensively. So I put you in there. I want you to cover Pickett. You leave Pickett, he gets a three. Like, that's this kind of stuff that Underwood was talking about tonight, of like, if effort sometimes isn't, hey, you know, I'm going to jump into the stands for effort. Sometimes is just do what I told you to do, right? Like, this isn't hard. So the RJ three at the end, I hope it gives him confidence, but if he doesn't do exactly what the coaches tell him to do, he's going to get pulled again, just like he did last year, just like he did, you know, tonight in the first half. So I hope it gave him confidence, but boy, howdy, I saw him in the first half and I didn't think he was ever going to get back in the game.
Well, I, again, my father-in-law, who's like got four titles, he would always tell me that the pine is a fantastic motivator. And he would tell a kid, he goes, I don't pick who sits on the pine. The players do. And so in that respect, I'll say that Coach Underwood, you know, he's got a weapon there and he's had to use it often on RJ recently. So just to kind of wrap this up a little bit, Ked, any final thoughts as we walk away from a second decisive loss to the Penn State Nittany Lions?
All the people, the fans out there listening to this podcast, be a coach tonight. Don't look at this game film. Stay off Twitter for the night. Get 24 hours to reflect and move on to the next game. They have your number. You got beat by a one-man wrecking crew again, and move on from it, because there's no sense. It's not going to change. It's going to be bitter taste, and you're going to have fans take shots at you because you're an Illinois fan and you lost to a Penn State team that you should have won. Move on, and then you just hope that Indiana doesn't shoot 80% from the field Saturday. And Indiana and Purdue are the two of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten. So if they want to win Saturday, they have to keep that crowd quiet and silent. That's it. And from a coaching standpoint, I'm just going to put it out there. Here's my thing. I'm making Dane Danger abuse Trace Jackson Davis. You got to get him in foul trouble. I don't care. What if he's not going to guard him, then Dane, make your lips. You shoot 67% from the field. Take advantage of it. And if they're not going to be able to cover him man-to-man, I would love to see some zone for more than two or three possessions. I don't care if they're not down on a couple threes. Play the percentages. I would not let that dude beat me again and have another guy put up 35 or 40 points on you.
And Xavier's not back. You know what? I think Illinois has also, by sitting on that press and not using it, I think they've taken a useful tool for certain parts of games out of their tool chest and left it at home. I'd like to see that occasionally. I'm not saying I want that to be their main defense. I'd just like to see that so that teams had to watch out for it. Matt?
My final thought is I know we try to take this whole season and make what we try to do is, hey, what does this mean for March, right? We've taken this whole season and basically constructed it into a two-week deal, right? I don't like it, but that's the deal. I'll ask the question, what if Illinois finishes 10th in the Big Ten this year? Is that acceptable? Because they're on the road to doing it.
If you go to a Sweet 16, you go to a Sweet 16.
And that's where, like, if you want to cut the season down into 2 weeks, that's fine. But over the course of 20 games, if you finish 10th of 14 teams in the Big Ten, that's a year after you won the Big Ten regular season championship. That's not acceptable. And so what Brad Underwood's trying to tell everybody after a Penn State loss is, again, I thought he summarized it beautifully when the last line that he said when he got off the air with Brian Barnard and Deion Thomas. We're not mature enough to handle this. We're not. And I don't know if that's fixable. I really don't. And that's got to be the scary part if you're an Illini fan, is that when is Terrence Shannon and when is Matthew Meyer and when is Coleman Hawkins going to finally be mature enough to lead this group through stuff like this? And that's because you've got games now that they're going to have to lead them through stuff like this. I don't know if they can do it.
Yep, people underestimate. This is why Io is on my Illini Mount Rushmore. First off, he came here when nobody wanted to come here, when this was a crap program, and he was the guy who said, I will be first, but he also said, I will lead. And he had the God-given ability, plus I think he was raised in such a fashion that he had some very good, and he had good coaches growing up, you know, including his, you know, his parents, but he had the leadership skills that could help keep these things in line a little bit. And I think Coach Underwood is seeing that as great a coach as you can be, you need to have some leaders out there, and there's no better place to look for that than Kentucky basketball right now that recruits. Oh, this guy can jump and he can shoot a three-pointer, but they don't have very many leaders on that team, and they end up paying for it when they get into these knockdown dragouts, and Illinois is learning that right now.
Well, they're going to need a go-to guy down the stretch, and you know, like I said earlier, the clock is ticking, and if this is what they want to be remembered by, I mean, so be it, because like we said, yeah, there's a chance Terrence Shannon could come back. Not happening. Matthew Meyer's gone. Coleman Hawkins' draft stock will not go any higher. It's going to be a different looking team next year. They're good enough. And what Matt said was really scary, because the Big Ten is really good. I mean, Nebraska just beat Rutgers,
okay, yeah,
at home. You got to bring it every night. No, and the other thing is, I want to say this, Illinois has been good for so long. If people think they're going to feel sorry for them, teams are going to want to pay them back and bury them for those last 4 or 5 years where they punish people.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the case. And that, you know, and that's what is so amazing about what Tom Izzo has done up in Michigan State, to win for decade after decade when people want to kill you, and yet they somehow manage to come out with the W in the end. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Of course, Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for Illini Guys, and Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys staff reporter, staff writer. Matt does like everything, so you can see him writing on a variety of subjects. And if you don't like the sport that he's covering, just wait a little bit and you might see him covering something else.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family.
UC Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
And, of course, we also have news that the Fighting Illini football team filled the last opening on their coaching staff as they hire Robbie Disher as special teams coordinator and tight end coach. So, Matt, you've obviously got your, feelers out trying to figure out about this. What can you tell us about Robbie Disher?
First thing I can tell you is, okay, I think the staff is done now. Like, we're here on Valentine's Day. I think the staff is done. They've set the spring game, so I hope the staff, at least the 10 on-field guys are done. I don't think they're done in the building. I think they're actually the one thing I can tell you is that I have found out is I think they're going to increase the off-the-field staff. I think that's going to increase Josh Whitman keeps putting more and more resources into that program as long as they keep winning. And I think it's a safe bet. Anyway, with Robbie Disher, I this is a lazy opinion. Some people are going to call this a lazy opinion, but I've talked to a bunch of national guys over the last month. And I think I and the Illini guys subscribers for us, and I think Illini fans in general, we can all kind of take a deep breath and relax when it comes to coaching hires, because I've talked to a bunch of national guys and I get the same response, which is, dude, I'm going to trust Brett on this one, you know, and that he knows what he's doing. And it's one of the things I had somebody tell me nationally who follows this for Sports Illustrated. I think it's one of the best things that Brett Bielema does is hire people to help, you know, prop him up. And usually when we say prop him up, that's usually like a backhanded compliment dig on a head coach. I think Brett Bielema understands I need to have good people surrounded around me for, because it can't just all be me, you know, and it's the thing that I think he's figured out. It's the thing that he figured out from the Belichick lab is, and quite frankly, before he went into the Belichick lab in the NFL, he did a really good job of putting staffs together at Arkansas. The problem is they kept picking from him, you know, and that's the thing that gives me great confidence about when Brett Bielema picks assistant coaches. They don't usually stay with him. And why is that? Because they usually get promoted, right? And that's the sign of somebody. And Mike, you've done this in another form of business, but you've done this in sales. And so when you pick salespeople and then they get promoted to go work somewhere else for a higher salary and a better title, that means you picked the right guy that many years ago, I would think, right? And so I think that's the confidence that you can have in Brett Bielema. But for Robbie Disher, you look at the resume and you look at the guys that he's worked for. Willie Fritz has done it at the FCS level with Sam Houston State, and Robbie was there getting his, you know, career basically almost started there and went to some FCS national championship games. They had a great special teams unit at Sam Houston State. Then he goes and works for Kirby Smart.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's pretty good. Right. You know, the two-time defending national championship coach who, when they won the first one, when they beat Alabama, even though it was in an off the field role, you know, Robbie Disher was a big part of what Georgia did from a special teams standpoint and scheming it up. And people don't understand that you do have special teams schemes week to week. You know, and I think that that's something that he's going to be able to do. Goes and works for a guy in Jason Candle at Toledo. There's a guy out of the MAC that I still can't figure out, other than the fact that the MAC has become almost like a dead league in FBS football. I think that he's going to be deserving, if Toledo keeps winning the Mid-American Conference, Jason Campbell's going to get a Power 5 job here pretty soon. I'm pretty sure of it. So there's a guy that, and then he went back to work for Willie Fritz. He's worked for Billy Napier. He's worked for Mike Gundy. Done really, really good things. One of the things I noticed was, you know, in the year that one of the years that Toledo won the MAC and had a great year with Jason Campbell and Robbie Disher was doing the special teams and the tight end coordinator position, they blocked six punts during the season.
That's amazing.
And I really think that Illinois is under him is going to have an aggressive special teams unit in that regard. I think that's the one thing when Brett Bielema says he's going to have his hands in a lot of our lot of parts of our program. You've seen on defense how aggressive they want to be. I think special teams wise is going to get a little bit more aggressive with him too. And he just has the chops to be able to put people in the right spots. And I think that he's going to have a lot of young guys on this roster, whether they're freshmen or sophomores, that are going to be really jacked about playing special teams for him. And then he enters a tight end room with guys that need to prove themselves. Tanner Arkin comes from Colorado State. He needs to show player development, you know, that he wasn't able to show at Colorado State because they had a scheme difference and a coaching change. He needs to go to another level. And that tight end room is one that Brett Bielema really wants to focus on and wants to be a significant part of the offense. And Barry Lunny Jr. was a tight ends coach. So, you know, that he has the stamp, he has Barry's stamp of approval when it comes to this hire as well. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, I think it's a really big hire. And then lastly, you know, I don't want to not hit this too, but from a recruiting standpoint, look, he's done this for a while now, like starting all the way back to Sam Houston State when you only have 63 scholarships to work with in an FCS program. The recruiting element's going to be big. He's from Kansas City. There's a bunch of 2024 guys that Illinois would like to get involved with that are within 30 to 45 minutes of driving distance from Kansas City in this 2024 class. That's where he and Kevin Kane and the Kansas program led by Lance Leipold and the Missouri program led by Eli Drinkwitz are going to have a field day fighting over some of these Kansas City kids. And then I think he's going to take over parts of Ohio that Ben has already kind of paved the way for him with, because that was a major part of what Ben Miller did when he started out as the tight ends coach and special teams coach coming over from Air Force. So I think Ohio and Kansas City is going to be his big recruiting territory, along with the part of Illinois. I think Southern Illinois would be a big additive for him when he takes over that the in-state part of what Brett Bielema wants his assistants to do, because he gives all 10 of his assistants 10 parts of the state. So I think that he'll along with whatever part of the state that he gets, I think Kansas City and Ohio will be big recruiting grounds for him.
So Robbie, if you get the southern part of the state, stop in at Walt's Pizza in Marion. It's got the triple decker pizza. Oh, that's another place that, you know, just in the middle of almost nowhere that you can get. Who would ever think of you do a pizza crust, then you put the sauce and some sausage on there, then you put a wafer thin crust, and then you put more sauce and more sausage and then the cheese, and you cook it, and you get these little pockets of deliciousness as you bite through it to little pockets of sauce and sausage and that little wafer thin crust through the middle of it. Walt's Pizza, Marion, gotta go for it, folks. All right, with that, I appreciate it, Matt. We will, we've gotten people a little bit of an update on the football coaching as well. Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Have a good one, Mike.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. Of course, if you like the podcast, please go to IlliniGuys.com and you can get a free 7-day trial and $99 a year. If you go back there, make sure you give us a whirl. You get all the stories that you'd like, and you can go to our message boards or our forums, and you can go there and talk with other Illini fans. You can also ask questions of Ked, of Matt, of myself, or Brad Sturdy, or Larry Smith. So you can talk to all of us, and it's a little more interactive than your typical subscription that you might have to a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and find the station nearest you. Find out what day it's on, Friday or Saturday, and find the two-hour slot that we're being broadcast. And please, go ahead and listen to us. We'd love to have more listeners. Call up the stations and let them know that you love the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. With that, we will be back for the game on Saturday against Indiana, which looks a little bit more threatening than it did before this game against the Nittany Lions. But the Illini have a chance now to go back and retool. And, of course, we know Coach Underwood isn't going to want to lose two in a row. So we will hear everybody on Saturday. Go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.